This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. And NBC Sports Washington is always brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, April 9th, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle.
Morning.
Morning. Johnny Cake Sawville is here.
Good morning, everybody.
And Jason Bishop.
Hello.
What's up, boys?
What's up?
I want to say hello to Jason's backlight that's always there for the first hour of the show.
Good morning. Good morning to that.
Well, I mean, I can
turn
it off.
He moves his head like to the right by about 6 inches, then he ends up blocking that light, and it looks better, but...
Yeah. It's just fun. Do you turn it off halfway through the show? Is that why it goes away?
There's a light on the other side, so I can't do
it. And it reflects off it? Is that what it's doing?
If you want me to do this... Then you have that light.
Yeah. Can't. Yeah. It's whatever. It looks good.
People got a deal. You got a deal.
It looks good like an hour in.
I don't really know what happens. Worry about that right now. Sorry.
By the way, is the deal. You can watch us on NBC Sports Washington. Today's going to be a fun show. I believe we're going to have Frank Caliendo on via Zoom.
Very good.
Good.
Comedian Frank Caliendo, who's fantastic. He's been pretty active on social media. I know the bit which I saw a couple days ago, which had me laughing, was the Jim Rome, Chris Evert bit. So he did that. So we always love having Frank on. He's going to join us at 8:20. And then we have the coach of the Caps, Todd Reirden. This would be the time of year that they're prepping for the playoffs, and we're talking about...
Would we be right down the stretch here?
Would
we be?
Yes. The playoffs would have started, like, yesterday.
They would have already started.
I believe so, like yesterday or today. I can double check and look at the end of the regular season, but I think it would have started... We'd all be up and running.
Right. So we'll see what's doing with Coach Reirden. He's going to join us coming up at 9 o'clock today.
We lost Lurch's video.
Well, my computer unplugged.
Locked up. Yeah.
I mean, these things happen. Cakes was having a video problem yesterday when we taped an interview with John Taffer.
I was.
We'll play that tomorrow. I know a lot of people were tweeting us about John Taffer, whether he was coming on today, and I think we're going to move him to tomorrow.
Yeah,
but,
great.
We had a good interview after the show with John Taffer.
Yeah, he was great.
What's today?
Today is Thursday.
I don't even know.
Thursday, I think.
It's Thursday.
Thursday.
I'll ask that.
They do all kind of blend together.
Yeah.
Oh, they certainly do. I'll get my Zoom up and running here in a second. I just had to unplug it.
You got that hoopty compact or whatever it is.
The Vibe machine is down. Valdez, you having problems with the Vibe machine?
I did notice it was down this morning, so I'm not sure what's going on.
We'll try to get that up and running. That's the Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message data charges may apply. Should mention it is also open line Thursday. So we'd love to take calls throughout the show, your chance to steer the show. You can chime in early. 800-636-1067 is the number.
Drabby, where are we on our diehard / Naked and Afraid viewing party?
You want to do it tonight?
I'm down.
Well, which one do you want to do?
Well, I personally want to do Naked and Afraid.
What time is it?
I think we could do Naked and Afraid. It's a low-end investment for everyone.
Yeah, it's only like 45 minutes. Like, right. If we watch Die Hard, how long is that movie?
It's probably 2 hours.
And 12 2 hours.
Minutes. 2 hours and 12 minutes? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
But it's good.
Naked and Afraid. I'm going to pick the episode. How
so
I have
are
to
the listeners getting in on it? Like, well, there's going to be 200 people in the Zoom party?
No, what we could do is, isn't there a way we could just do it, like, on Periscope?
Yeah.
We could do that.
I'm sure.
Like, somehow get, somehow show it on Periscope or something.
I think it'd be cool, though, to do it with listeners. Why not?
Well, listeners on Periscope, can they chime in? They just comment. You know what I mean?
You can't have everyone's mic be open during the...
Yeah, it wouldn't really work. So they can still chat. You see, they have comments left and right.
Yeah, you let the stars talk and the peons chime in on the chat.
Right.
I like that setup, Drab T-shirt.
Yeah.
Periscope. I don't have Periscope. I'm going to add that.
That's a Twitter software.
I don't think it's a big deal. Believe me. I mean, I've got
I'm sure it's easy.
You just have to figure out how to screen capture everything.
JP's worried about virtual clutter. He's worried about digital clutter.
I know. It makes me crazy.
I have to add that?
Oh, no.
Oh, not
another app? That means I got to delete an app.
That's right. I got a nice setup.
You're not. Would you seriously delete an app if you added one?
Probably, yeah.
What's vulnerable?
I do the same thing, JP. I'm on your side.
The reason why I do it is, you know, if anybody ever wants to see, like, a family picture, is my screenshot. You know, the first page, I have some apps blocking the picture.
Nobody wants
boom,
to see family pictures.
Can see it. I know, but it's just
they
want to
see family pictures when your kids are like 6 months old.
That is a great point, Cakes. No one cares about your kids.
Every once in a while, somebody says, let me see a picture. And instead of going through the photos, I've got it right there as the screenshot.
Why can't you just take it off the front page? Can't you take any app off the front page?
Look, again, what do you care what I do?
It's just maddening.
Why?
I don't know. It makes me crazy.
You can have a nice cluttered hoarding life, and I'm going to have a nice clean non-hoarding life.
And it'd be the exact same.
It's actually not the same because you still have 500 CDs that you do nothing with, and I don't.
And
how the crap?
It's in a closet. It never affects my life. Thank
well,
you.
For some reason, my lack of clutter affects your life.
Well, no, it's just bizarre. Jason, you do the same thing? If you download an app, you delete an app?
Oh, no. But, I mean, if I don't use an app, if I haven't used an app in a year, I'll just
delete
it.
Well, sure, you should do that. That's of course. Yeah. Of course. If you're not using it.
Don't the apps take up memory and storage on your
phone?
Sure
they do, yeah.
Depends. Some of them probably do.
So, I mean, what's the point of having it on your phone if you never use it?
No, correct. That's totally different than, well, I just added one, so I need to delete one. Like this sort of mythical sort of number that he must have.
I mean,
have.
I don't do that with the apps, but with emails, if I don't need an email, I just delete it. What's the point of having it?
All right.
But see, I'm on Gmail, so all of my emails are on the same page. You have AOL, poopy, so you have old mail and new mail, so you can shift it to old mail. I don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why Gmail does that.
Who bought AOL? Somebody must have snapped them up. Are they owned by somebody else at this point?
Well, they merged with Time Warner like years ago.
I knew that. I just thought somebody must have like.
No, is my video back up?
Yeah, you're good.
You're good to go.
Let me see what it looked like if I just turn the lights off and I'm in a totally dark room. Huh?
Yeah, let's see it. Well, let's experiment.
He just doesn't need the backlighting. Can't he just have lights in front of him?
Cakes. Verizon bought AOL.
Verizon did. Okay, thank you.
All right, what's that look like?
I think that actually looks a little better because you have a light in front of you, right? There's one light in front of you on your face.
It's the computer.
Yeah.
You like that better?
That's terrible. Come on.
So you want the light back on?
Yeah, turn the light back on.
Jesus H. Christ.
By the way, I have a lighting update from Mikasa.
Did yours come in?
My lights came, but I just assumed that they would send tripods with the lights.
Oh, you don't have any stands or anything?
I had to have the lights show up, and I'm like, well, where's the box with the tripods? And my wife's like, there's no other box. This is it. So I went back to the order, and it just says lights. It says, if you think tripods are coming with this order, you're a big stupid.
Well, you could put them on tripods or a light stand. They're kind of the same thing.
I'm sure I have a light stand. What is a light stand? I don't even know what that is.
It's kind of the same thing. But now, do you have the right connectors? Did you noodle all that, too?
No, I just eyeballed it. So I've got tripods coming in, and hopefully they work. It looks like they'll work.
Well, you're going to need like a little thing so that you can bend. You need a little piece in the middle so that it can you can adjust it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if I have that or not. You know what? It might never. I might just accumulate a bunch of lighting equipment that'll never work.
Your lighting right. actually looks pretty good now.
I'm telling you,
it's terrible.
When
I look at you on the screen, I don't see the bags, which I think is an upgrade.
Well, they're certainly there. I had to dispatch my wife to get. Hold on, let me grab them.
Yeah, I thought that was awkward yesterday. What do you got?
Got some eye drops right there.
Okay. Does that help?
They definitely help.
Good.
You can use them four times a day.
JP asked Cal if he had a black eye, and he just had bags.
Yeah, that's pretty tactful.
So embarrassing.
That's fine. Yeah. It looked like a shiner on one side.
Yeah, it's because it was a massive baggy eye.
I mean, Cal didn't ask you about that landing pad on your face.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah.
You know? Come
exactly.
on. Be nice.
He could have.
Right.
That was a good interview. If people missed it, you can always use the rewind feature via radio.com. Cal was awesome. Also, it's on the Junkies YouTube page. Follow the YouTube page, the Sports Junkies, and it's up at thefandc.com. So you can check out the Cal interview.
And JP had a brilliant interview or idea yesterday because we were talking about the Saturday show and get possible guests for the Saturday show. He said, we're just going to rerun Cal. I said, brilliant.
I think that's brilliant. Hey, you know what? Maybe Chad brilliant. And I will steal the interview and run it on the CNC Radio Factory. You
absolutely.
Never know. You we've never
rerun,
know what's going to
reset. You know what? We're probably going to rerun Taffer.
We've rerun a couple interviews on our show.
Brilliant.
Oh, you have? Oh yeah. We're definitely doing
Why
that.
Why is it I noticed
By the way, D'Angelo
weekend,
Hall, D'Angelo Hall will be on the show on Saturday.
Ah, good. Cool.
I booking. Noticed this weekend, Eric, that Grant was calling your show The Q.
The Q. Yeah.
Why
what do you think
it
that
the
is?
Q?
The quarantine, Rick.
Oh.
The Q. I figured that out. Right, what else does the Q have to do with it?
The only thing it could be.
I mean, Eric. I thought about it for 2 seconds, so I didn't noodle it in those 2 seconds.
Eric, yeah. Give me the daily update.
Oh, the I don't know.
Anything good, bad, unchanged?
Well, I think what's interesting is all of these models are proving to be way off. And
right. In a good way?
Yes. And, okay. And you know, basically, the only hospital system that's really being taxed right now is New York.
Right.
And so people are now starting to freak out because they're like, wait a second. Hospitals are empty all over the country. This overrunning of our system isn't happening, and yet we're all locked down. So
they can't send some of these patients to other hospitals in other cities?
Well, I don't know. No, and they still have the capacity even in New York, but it's the only one that's pretty much like near capacity, to my understanding, for the most part.
They added hospitals, you know, temporary hospitals
right.
in New York.
The rest of the country is fine.
I think some of the other hot spots, though, are getting close. Like Louisiana's a few days away, they say. Detroit's trending that way. Chicago, all the heavily populated big cities.
Correct. But like, and they're saying even Maryland. Maryland won't peak until the end of the month, probably. But still.
And D.C. the same way. D.C., I mean, who knows? I think a lot of times the warning bells are louder than the reality.
Exactly.
That's probably good.
Of course it's good.
That way. Because Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., was saying, and this seems to be a stretch, that 1 in 7 in D.C. could have coronavirus. That seems awful high based on the numbers we've seen so far in the country. But maybe it goes that way.
I don't think it will. I think obviously the social distancing and all these mitigation factors that we're doing are working. But I think also the initial projections were just kind of outrageous. And it just kind of scared us all. And somebody's pointing out we're tracking better than the 2018 flu season, which was particularly bad. And we didn't cause a whole, you know, Great Depression.
Right,
in 2018.
Right.
So
yeah, we didn't shut down.
Yeah.
All right, so what
true,
am I
but if they didn't shut down, the numbers would be way worse.
They would be worse, but we don't know how worse.
So it says U.S. projections on U.S. deaths down to 60,000.
Yeah, they dropped like 40,000 in the last 2 days.
By August, where the model showed 82,000 on Tuesday. All right, that's good. That's good news.
On Monday, they showed 93,000. And the day before, and like 2 days before that, it showed 100,000. So, I mean, it's great. It's definitely great, but you just wonder, man, have we gone overboard here? We're shutting down 75% of the restaurants. They'll never come back.
Did you see that after 76 days, Wuhan is back operating to normal?
I just don't believe anything out of China, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, there's photographs.
I've seen reports where they say that China could be underreporting by 40 times. By 40 times their death toll.
Yeah, who knows with them.
Well, you
yeah.
know that the numbers they, in the U.S. Are reliable, and you look at where we were. So a month ago, 4 weeks ago, 38 deaths. 3 weeks ago, it was a total of 149 deaths. And then you see the exponential growth. 2 weeks ago, 938 deaths. 1 week ago, 4,780. And right now, 14,768.
Right. Which is, you know, it's a ton of people, but, you know, they're respiratory illnesses. So you put it kind of in that category of respiratory illnesses with the flu and stuff. And, you know, again, the measures we're doing are working, I think. But
I'm just grasping that Northam can lift the June 10th date of the shutdown.
I think we're trending in that direction.
So if you believe China and it took 76 days to get back up and running.
Right.
Well, then that would be inside the June 10th date that Northam gave for.
Although I think they had more of a lockdown than we did. I mean, they were locking, like you said, they were deadbolting people in the rooms. And by the way, I also saw a report 2 days ago that in Wuhan, they were just, because they didn't have enough hospital beds, they were just taking people cakes off ventilators that were still alive and zipping them up in body bags. And then you could hear them screaming when they were putting them in the incinerator.
Oh, see, these are the details that I don't need. You're torturing yourself with knowing that. Like now
you watch
that's in
beheading
my
videos. You watch beheading videos. You've actually seen a guy's head cut off.
Yeah, watch like once.
That's all you need to see is one.
I'm subjecting myself to it every single day.
Neither am I. I just read the story.
Yeah, I can't keep up with every coronavirus update. It's too tilting.
Yeah, no, like I don't think I do.
I'll check the little bullet points and tidbits on my phone on Twitter, but I can't just be inundated with it.
I'll tell you what I do. I watch the daily pressers. I get a kick out of that, so I do watch that. I find them to be entertaining and then also informative. You know. So I do watch those every day.
I was too busy watching the end of the first episode I digested of Naked and Afraid yesterday.
Did you finish it?
I did finish it, yes.
All right, so what is your evaluation?
How much is fake? What percentage is fake?
I don't know how much is fake.
It's not too much fake.
But for me, I think one full episode of Naked and Afraid is enough. Because I now know what the blueprint is going to be every single time. And it's just there's just going to be slight variations on the model where they're naked. They're dropped in a really hot place with a lot of bugs. They need to make fire. They're going to be hungry and they're all going to lose a bunch of weight by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It was like Survivor, a little more intense Survivor without the game aspect of it. It was more intense than that, but I don't feel like personally for me I need to see another episode.
Well, that's true. I mean, they all follow sort of the same pattern. Yeah. They're just different animals or different sort of things that they're dealing with. But you're right. The basic premise, it's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. You're going to have Larry David sort of perplexed. There's going to be one theme throughout the whole thing, and at the end, it's going to be wrapped up.
I do know that
you're going to laugh and be highly entertained.
That's true. If I ever go to the Bahamas, which I probably won't, but if I do, I don't want to be dropped on the interior of the island, like where it's undeveloped, it's butt hot all the time.
Right.
There's no food, real food or water. It just looks like a miserable, terrible place.
Aren't the conditions miserable?
Well, by like 11 a.m., it was 96 degrees. I mean, who wants to be there in those sorts of conditions?
All right, boys, got to take a break. It is Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number. Remember, a little bit later, coming up at 8:20, we got Frank Caliendo, comedian. You don't want to miss that. And Todd Reardon, the head coach of the Caps, will join us at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We got Frank Caliendo joining us at 8:20. That should be a lot of fun. The comedian impressionist. I went to his show
I guess it was about a year ago, maybe, you know, 6 months ago, over at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races, and he was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got kind of interrupted in the middle of his act.
Right.
Because people just want to hear the impressions, and it just breaks up his routine. So I actually felt bad for him.
He actually wants to do a regular stand-up with his own material, but people have no interest in it, and they just want him to do Madden and Rome.
It includes impressions, but people become impatient. So his act, which is an act plus impressions, is going, and then all of a sudden, like you said, people say, do Trump!
I know.
Can those drunks just settle down and stop ruining Frank's bit? Stop ruining his act when he's on the road, please.
So he'll join us at 8:20 tomorrow.
Cakes,
we're going to play
you
the
might
John
have done the same thing.
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to play the John Taffer interview, and he actually talked about casinos during our interview with us.
Right,
and he brought up some good points. Like, people are going to be worried about elevators. People are going to be worried about all these different things, and businesses are going to have to adapt and change if they're going to survive and do well.
I just don't know how you distance people at a casino. I mean, it's one of many places where that's clearly an issue and a hurdle. But, you know, in a poker room, at a blackjack table, I mean, how close are you sitting to somebody at a blackjack table? 6 inches, a foot?
Right.
I mean, you're right on top of them. The dealer is 3 feet from you.
The only way casinos will get back to normal is if we find out that there's some sort of a treatment or a pill or a shot that you can take that lessens the effect of it.
Right. I know MGM
is the only way I can see it happening.
I think MGM, at least in Vegas, has announced that all of their attractions and shows, whatever, are canceled through the end of May. Mm. They've already said that. It's done, shut down, and they'll reassess, I guess, going forward.
The thing that's scary is that these guys, I mean, there are people out there saying, you know, like Fauci's saying, we should never do handshakes again.
Right.
We never do handshakes again, that we're going to have a whole new normal. Even Governor Cuomo, who everybody seems to like, is saying, we're never going to go back to how we lived before.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to have a new normal. And I think that is true to an extent. It's a transformative moment. But how much is it going to change? I mean, you know, we still want to be able to go to games together. We still want to be able to have dinner together. You know, I don't know. Better get back to that.
I did a virtual medical appointment last night.
Yeah.
For the first time, I got together with Dr. Petrocelli because I've had some severe shoulder pain. I've had shoulder issues for years, and in fact, I had an MRI on the right shoulder 4 or 5 years ago, and he gave me a cortisone injection, and I did rehab, but I had some really bad symptoms. You guys will know, one of the shows, and I think I know what happened, one of the shows, during every commercial break, I did 25 push-ups, 25 sit-ups, and pull-ups every commercial break. And the next day, my shoulder felt like it was going to fall off.
Of course.
And so we went through a whole exam, Dr. Petrocelli. It was actually humbling because, look, we all probably have dad bods, but I don't really look at myself that close up very much. And I had to take off the shirt for the doctor and then do all these exercises, raising my arm, moving it to the side. My wife was pushing it down and all these things. And I probably have what's called a slap tear. Of the labrum,
tear.
But it's the other potential diagnosis is torn rotator cuff. So it's something fairly serious, but I can do some rehab at least right now and not go out and get an MRI.
Right.
But I did a virtual appointment.
Oh yeah, I've had a couple virtual telemedicine, whatever you call it, virtual appointments. But for the most part, a lot of those things you're going to need, you know, to go in.
Sure,
it's
preferred and.
My urologist needs me to bend over for him.
Yeah, you need to be a person for that one.
We're friends. Like, I know him from Lifetime Fitness. And I asked him a little bit about his business. I was like, look, I don't want to get in your pockets, but how's it going? He said, look, you have to adjust. So he does surgeries in the morning, necessary surgeries. And then when he sees clients, I forget the number that he said that he normally did. It was something like 16 an hour, and now it's only 4 an hour. And he's got to have everything separated out. And he's like, you know, typically, you wouldn't put on gloves or a mask, and now he's got to do that for each person that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Taffer had some ideas that were out there in the restaurant business, so
he's
we'll play
pretty
that
negative.
He really is.
Taffer's very negative. He's one of those guys, put him in there with Fauci and Cuomo and those things that thinks, you know, we're never going to be the same, at least not anytime soon.
Yeah, until there's a vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, like JP said, it depends on what the new normal is. Well, I can deal with no handshakes if that's the new normal.
Yeah, I'm cool
with
that.
Well, Fauci's suggesting even after a vaccine, no more handshakes.
If casinos and movie theaters and bars and restaurants and stadiums and arenas, or they're all affected, that would be
a shame.
That would be that would affect me much more than no handshakes.
Right,
so
I agree.
So we'll see how it progresses.
But I mean, can you imagine living in a world where when you haven't seen your friends in a while that you're not giving them like a brother hug and, you know? Or,
yeah, right.
I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, I probably still would. I mean, if I saw Horsey and Pastry and Squirrely and all those clowns, I'm not going to stay 6 feet away from those guys just because Fauci tells me to.
It's weird. We went for a walk yesterday, and we brought a little soccer ball for Isabella to keep
Beautiful
the ball
day,
around.
By the way.
It was an awesome day. Yep. And so we were out for the walk and bring a wagon, and she brings a little stroller, and we brought the soccer ball. And we set up in a little park area in our neighborhood, and some of our friends came by who also have two little kids. And, I mean, normally you just let them play and everything, and now you don't even want them like sharing the same ball. You don't want them, you know, naturally a three-year-old's going to go up to another three-year-old, and they're going to want to be close. You know, keep them, it's like really hard to keep them spaced out.
Right.
That sounds challenging.
That sounds like a tough
My wife
tough
was pull. Telling me that you're actually supposed to wear your mask if you go for a run.
Really?
I saw a guy do that
I've
yesterday.
People. I told you I saw somebody with one of those plastic face shields.
But he
shields.
Was struggling. Yeah. He was struggling to breathe. I mean, you could hear him all the way across the street.
I mean, depending on what sort of mask, I think everyone would be tough. But like when I wore a mask to Harris Teeter a couple days ago, it kept sliding up near my eyes just from walking around. Like I couldn't imagine what it would do if you're trying to run like that. I think that's kind of crazy to try to do that.
Saturday, I talked to a couple. I actually saw some friends I hadn't seen in a while. On a walk yesterday, we did a 4.5 mile walk with the dog. Wore her ass out. Anyway,
that is a long walk. That's got to be.
It's about an hour. Hour and 15.
That's solid.
Like that. Yeah. So I saw some friends, and I was like, you know, we haven't seen each other. Let's do a driveway happy hour, social distancing happy hour. So Saturday, they're coming over, and another couple coming over. I'm just gonna do it right in the front yard.
Yeah, just throw the chairs out there. You know, maybe get a fire pit.
I got to do it. I got to see my boys.
As long as it's under 10, I think you're good.
It'll be 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. A lot of people are doing it. In fact, the friends that we saw said that they did that on their deck where. A lot of people were kind of on their decks nearby. You know, we live in kind of a lot of townhouses around, so you could pull that off. And they're like, if we do that again this weekend, we'll invite you. And I couldn't believe it. How that would works out, but
I talked to Horsey yesterday and just touching base. And I was like, yeah, we should probably do one of these Zoom happy hours. And I was waiting for him to Joan on me. Right. And he was like, yeah, let's do it.
Right.
He was it was all about it.
Yeah, everyone's just dying to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done it yet. My son did it with a bunch of his buddies from school. They had a Zoom happy hour. I'm not going to drive all the way out to where Horsey lives and go sit on his driveway.
You're not driving to Columbia when you don't have to. That's so finished.
It's like an hour away.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? It is Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. I saw Peter, who likes to lead off on Open Line Thursdays, was on the line earlier.
Is it Peter there? Pete!
Yeah, good morning, EB. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
I'm calling you from the Bird Sanctuary, which is the Burke VRE station. Hey, I know you guys like to always move forward and do new things and don't like to rehash the past all the time, but since we're kind of in this limbo phase with no sports to talk about, there's been a groundswell of P1 request online for you to retell some of your seminal stories. So we've been running polls this week, you know, like your favorite Borgata story. So of course, Cakes in his boxer shorts in the lobby is right up there. I was surprised the Shane Donger pulled a very close second for that. The poll that's up now is near brushes of calamity, like the car crashing to the studio or EB T-boning the Corvette. So I don't know if y'all are up at any point for just a little trip down memory lane, but the P1s
are loving. Is there one in particular that you like, that you want to talk about?
Well, when I put the EB T-boning the Corvette, somebody else brought up.
No. Somebody T-boned me in the Corvette.
Yeah. But somebody brought up that you were going to go in on half these on a sports car with some woman that went to your dentist or something like
that's
that.
Right.
And I Marcel, easily remembered
my
that.
My old friend Marcel, yeah.
Marcel, that's right.
Yeah,
you guys are going to chop like a Mazda Miata or something like that.
No, not nicer than that. We were getting something nicer than a Miata.
I'm just joking.
What were you going to get? Like a Lambo? What were you going to get?
No, not like a Lambo, but like one of those like Mercedes convertibles, whatever.
Whatever happened to Marcel? You still talk to Marcel?
I don't, because we were neighbors. I was neighbors with her daughter and their family, and we all went our separate ways.
That was a weird bit, though, because you were roughly 32, 33 at the time, and she had to have been in her 50s or 60s.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But she she was in the neighborhood all the time. So we would have happy hours, all of us, you know, the two families.
This was the old neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I used to live in a court.
On the Corvette.
Totally different. When you live in a court, it's totally different.
Hey, the Corvette.
Yeah.
Could you fit anybody in the back seat? Was there a back seat?
There's no back seat in Corvettes, no.
No back seat.
Two-seater, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to get one before
Pretty practical.
I'd like to get one again before I donk off. But, you know, we'll see. They're fun. They're fun cars to drive, and they've gotten so much nicer and so much they handle so much better. The one I had did not handle well at all. you hit that gas, man, that thing would fishtail.
What year was that Corvette?
The one I
Do
had.
Do you remember?
It was like a 97. I think it was a C5 for the Corvette geeks out there. They'll know.
Did you buy it off Craigslist?
I actually did. I actually did buy it off Craigslist.
Craigslist.
And I had it
so
1 week before I totaled it, and then I had to put in about 12 grand of my own money to get
What's
it back.
What's Craig up to these days, by the way? Is he just swimming in money? Is that guy loaded?
Who knows?
Wasn't it like sort of like Wikipedia for a while? Like they weren't taking ads or something?
I don't know.
Wasn't it sort of... I think it was
I don't know much
like
about
Were
Craigslist.
Were they asking for donations?
Yeah, I think.
I just remember seeing stories about people putting something up for sale on Craigslist, and then somebody comes to their house with an axe and cuts their head off.
Is it even still a thing?
There's no transaction.
Do people still use Craigslist?
I how would I know? I have no idea.
I use it all the time.
You do for what?
Well, I just don't like searching for stuff on the computer, not on my phone. So I guess I'm in the minority because most people like using Letgo and all that stuff.
What's Letgo? I never even heard of that.
Letgo is like one of those apps where it's a community trade,
okay,
or trade or sell stuff.
Right.
But I like Craigslist because it's easy to maneuver on the computer. And there's still a zillion things up there.
So, like, what is the last thing that you've sold or bought on Craigslist?
I was on it yesterday. We were looking for a desk, like an office desk.
And you're going to Nubs List to get your desk?
I get size for Nubs. It's very simple.
And then you meet some donk in some parking lot?
Yeah, I like the exchange. You meet
you
up.
Do? That's so weird.
And then how do you transact the cash or whatever? You do Venmo?
It could be Venmo, could be cash, whatever.
Right. What was the last thing you actually purchased from Craigslist?
Oh, I don't remember. I've bought cars. I've bought stolen cars off Craigslist.
You're not worried about somebody like just pulling out a butcher knife at
your
meeting?
No, because you're meeting in a Harris Teeter.
You meet like at Walmart or something. Yeah.
Still, you can't get stabbed at a Walmart
you
or
think
in a parking
you
lot.
You think I'm going to get stabbed in front of 700 people?
Yeah, if there's a crazy person that you're setting up a transaction with, yes.
The percentages are low,
but
hold
on, you're telling me you can't even remember.
You get stabbed walking to work.
You're telling me you can't remember the last thing you purchased from Craigslist. A stolen card?
The last
15
thing,
years ago.
The last thing I sold on Craigslist was a bunch of those, you know, when we had the solar eclipse. And we got all the glasses. And I sold those things for $50 a piece.
You did?
Wow. Yeah.
That's quite a score.
Me and Valdez.
I thought you were doing that on eBay.
And I'm all sure that you...
Yeah, we hit them all over.
I'm sure you reported it as income, too.
It was under 10K. It was probably
close to it, though.
It was probably like $300 we made.
He's going to report
that was
it.
A listener
cakes.
Dropped them off, right?
Yeah, we shouldn't have done that.
Yes, we shut up. They were sat in the studio. Right.
I still feel bad about that.
I don't at all.
Yeah.
Do you guys still sell books that come in from authors?
No, but there is a buzz right now. People are talking about that, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but there's nobody here in the building, right? Yeah. We're the only ones. And there's 1,000 books down the hall here in an area that
looks
not,
like it looks like a library.
That's not being used anymore.
New books, too.
And
from who?
Connecting Vets.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm like 1,000 books.
And so you're tempted to steal them?
Well, all the producers are just talking shop, and we're talking about how we can make some money off of these things.
Well, Drab was around pillaging all the empty desks, looking in drawers.
I was taking notes. Because I don't know who's coming back and who's not.
Right. That's what Jason did when we left HFS.
It's true.
There's a lot of tchotchkes laying around.
I'm sure there are.
I'm asking an honest question. Is that show Connecting Vets even still, like, is that, or that station even still on the air?
Don't know.
Right.
What do you mean you don't know?
Up in the air. It's up here. Look.
I think so. There's no one down the hall. I don't know where they're running it from.
I haven't seen a face from Connecting Vets in over a month.
I mean, it's an online station, so.
Disconnected Vets.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
So they could probably be doing that from their homes. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, phone number, it is open.
Pretty good
Thursday.
Assistant program director you are.
He's the program director of our station, not that station.
Yeah, still.
800-636-1067 is the number. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, a little bit later in the show, Frank Caliendo joins us. That's at 8:20. And Todd Reardon, head coach of the Capitals, he'll be on with us at 9 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that. Phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. I know kind of the big news in the sports world, or one of the big items, was Tom Brady's interview on Howard Stern. I didn't listen to it. I read a couple reviews. One offered a lot of the details that he talked about. Another one kind of ripped him, saying he didn't really say anything, even though it was a two-hour interview.
I was surprised.
Are you talking about the SB Nation article?
I don't even remember what it was.
The SB Nation article was unfair. I didn't think it was a fair criticism of Brady. I'm no big Brady fan, but they wanted him to take some big like stance on Kaepernick or something. I don't know. I read the comments too. It was interesting that he kind of admitted that he knew a year ago or so that this would probably be his last year. And they also asked him about, you know, your legacy, and he talked about how, you know, he didn't give a crap about legacy, but that if you're asking him, does he think that he'll be successful without Belichick? He says yes. He says, do I think I'd win six championships without him? No, but I don't think he would have won six championships without me either, which is totally fair.
Definitely fair. I'm just surprised that he talked about, I mean, he's a pretty private guy, that he talked about
Giselle. Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty open with that.
You know, he admitted marriage did he talk about marriage counseling?
Well, I guess. He said that's the reason why. And I think that was a speculation at the time, right? That he wasn't doing OTAs because he wanted to spend some more time with his family. And I guess she gave him some sort of ultimatum.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I'm just surprised he talked about that. But I guess. Now, was he in studio with Stern or was this on the phone?
No, they were trying to do a Zoom bit, and it kept, like, crashing, so eventually it just turned into an audio thing.
It was just a phone thing, right.
Yeah. Valdez says he has a clip. Play what you got, Valdez.
But it's got to be somewhat annoying when there's always this question, Tom Brady, greatest of all time, but if he didn't have Belichick, it wouldn't have achieved because Belichick is the brains there. And I imagine in some level there were times you laid down at night and went, this guy, and all of that, because I know it was me. I'm the one studying the tapes and coming up week after week with a new game plan for myself so that other teams don't recognize my pattern. You know, it wasn't Belichick. In your legacy, does that go through your head?
I think it's a pretty argument, actually, that people would say that, because, again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same in vice versa as well. To have him allowed me to be the best I could be. So I'm grateful for that. And I very much believe that he feels the same about me because we've expressed that to each other.
He said he also acknowledged that he cried when he had their final meeting, with Belichick and with Kraft.
Mm.
And it became obvious that he was going to move on.
Right, right.
So
that makes sense. He spent his entire career
there. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're going to have emotions and feelings wrapped up in all that when you depart.
No doubt.
It's going to be really interesting. I mean, it's surreal to see him in a new uniform, obviously, yeah, with Tampa. But it's going to be interesting to see how successful he can be with a whole new staff and a whole new team and new receivers and
I'll tell you what, new coach, new city. I'm going to root for him now. I never cared about him before. I didn't care about him at all. Zero.
Right.
But I love underdogs, and I like old farts. So he's now an old fart underdog, and I'm definitely going to root for him.
What is the Cakes review on the new Tampa Bay Buccaneers jerseys?
Positive.
Are those the old school jerseys?
They're kind of going back to like the Mike Allstott era
type
of jersey. They got rid of those the wacky design for the numbers. I like it. I especially like the pewter on pewter, like the color rush. I think it's a really good look.
Do you like the Rams that came out a couple of weeks ago? I'm with Dickerson.
Not crazy.
I don't like
about the Rams logo. It seems very kind of bland, especially if you're looking to kind of revamp. So
I thought they were weak.
I didn't hate Atlanta's uniforms. A lot of people, you can't release a new uniform and not have people just pound it and jump on it on social media. I didn't hate the Atlanta new unis.
I didn't even bother to look.
With the ATL across the top of the numbers.
Yeah. I don't mind that. That's very XFL-ish.
Yeah, some people were saying it looks like Adam Sandler's uniform in The Waterboy. I know that there was some back and forth between the Panthers and the Falcons on social media. But, look, you can't introduce something new and not have people attack it.
Yeah, one's going to love it 100%.
That's just what 2020
is. Do you like him, Jason? Have you seen the new?
I saw Atlanta. It's fine. I mean, you just get used to it.
I guess you get used to it, but I don't like it. I have to say I don't like it. Honestly, I don't like a lot of the new NBA uniforms either. They do the same thing, right? And they're doing a lot of like initial stuff with some of these NBA uniforms.
Like city initials?
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are just like, those are
one-offs.
They'll have like their city edition or their whatever they call it.
Right.
That they just wear a couple times. I don't like these Falcons ones because, at least from the pictures, they don't have like the split socks. It's all one color.
What do you mean, the split color?
Like the Chiefs have like red tubing at the top and the rest of the sock is white.
Uh-huh. You don't like that?
Well, these are just like all, look at it, it looks weird. You don't see any NFL teams that look like that. Like all black socks all the way up.
Looks like they have one version of socks.
Yeah, that's like their throwback one.
Yeah.
Cakes, I don't see much of a difference in the Bucs uniforms.
Yeah, I mean it's more of they switched up the way they did the numbers, and they're kind of going back to, I think, about a 15 or 20 year ago type of uniform setup.
Huh.
It's a pretty minor tweak. It's not a
reboot. What's the basic difference?
I would say the basic difference is the numbers that they wore the last, like, I don't know, 5 to 7 years are at crazy angles. People like likened it to like alarm clock numbers. And now the numbers are more
traditional?
Yeah, they're going back to a more traditional look.
Well, I never even noticed that. So I'm going to do Buccaneers uniforms in 2019?
Yeah.
Their whole shoulder sleeve was different. It was like a big pewter block on their shoulders.
Yeah, I would have to see them side by side.
I see. They were just kind of weird, like jagged kind of. I didn't even notice that. That's how little I pay attention.
But you're going to pay attention this year because Tom Brady's there.
I am, and I'm going to I wonder if there are other people like that are like, you never liked him because he was kind of, I don't know, this douchey winner that won all the time.
I know, but JP's not rooting for him. JP despises Tom Brady. He hates
No, I said this a while ago. When I watched TB12, I watched his whole TB12.
You kind of liked him.
I turned a little bit. Look, yeah. My favorite player and my favorite team, the Colts, and I rooted for Peyton Manning. They were rivals, so I rooted for Peyton Manning, and it was annoying to me because I believe Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I understand Tom Brady has more accomplishments. Tom Brady did not win 5 MVPs like Peyton Manning. I just don't think Peyton Manning had Bill Belichick and he didn't have the team. And, it would annoy me that Brady gets placed above Peyton. I still stand by, if you put Peyton on the Patriots, he would have 6 rings as well.
And I think Brady
Manning had some great offensive weapons. Let's not get it twisted.
He did.
I mean, give Tom Brady Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Edgerrin James.
They're both great players. I just, you know,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it, but you can't say Peyton didn't have the team. He had a great team around him.
Well, also, I think it's just hard to assume that he would win six championships. I mean, look, Brady was lucky to win a couple of those. No doubt. So, yeah. Peyton would have to be equally as lucky,
I just think the Patriots were a better organization. He was on a better organization with a better system and a better defense many of those years. Yes, Peyton had some good defenses as well. But, you know, that's why. That's just the way it works. Do you like Sidney Crosby cakes?
I do not.
You kind of hate him because he's on the Pens and he's a rival.
I'm not a fan.
Right.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but Cakes is a bigger Caps fan than you are a Colts fan.
Yeah, well, that's just true. The nature of the Colts have moved. I grew up liking them. I had a Baltimore Colts robe when I was a little kid, and my dad was a Baltimore guy when he came to this country. So I was raised on the Baltimore teams.
It's just when guys get older, a lot of times they end up becoming sort of fan favorites. You know, like in tennis, they're classic examples. Like people didn't really like McEnroe or like Connors, but when they got older, people start rooting for them.
Well, I think Brady's been a fan favorite for many years. Now, he's also been
only in New England, right?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of people loved him. Like there was a period of time, my daughter is a huge Redskins fan, but there was a period of time when she loved Tom Brady.
Well, she probably thought he was handsome or something.
Right. Yeah. There's lots of people like that. That's why his jersey's popular.
Yeah, but did she have a Tom Brady fat head on the wall like her Brian Arakpo?
I would never do that.
Give me over this wall. Oh, man, I'm still up on this wall. I need to make some cupcakes.
The only thing that I think about when it comes to Peyton versus Brady is when Peyton played Brady in the postseason head-to-head, I just don't think Manning played as well as Brady did in those games.
And a lot of them he didn't. Early on, but you know, if you actually look at the numbers, I think they faced each other in the AFC Championship three times, and Peyton won two out of three.
The overall numbers
definitely lean towards Brady. But look, I watched the Peyton Places. They aired that on ESPN with Brady and Manning just talking while they're at Jim Nance's house. I watched the extended version, and Brady talked about how when he came into the league, he looked up to Peyton because Peyton was kind of that first guy. I mean, I know guys in the old school used to do it that just ran the entire offense, and Brady wasn't that early in his career, but he is now, and I expect him to do that in Tampa where he's changing plays at the line like Peyton did.
He was 3-2 against Brady in the postseason.
There you go. I mean, that's a winning record. It's pretty good.
But his overall numbers in the postseason don't touch Brady's.
Yes. All right, phone number you want to chime in, open line Thursday, it's 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.